And good evening to the remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. I'm coming to you from the Radio Ranch. And I got to push that button the right way. There we go. And again, good evening. Today is September 17th, 2020. Wanna thank you for joining us here on this. Well, it's been a beautiful day. Kind of overcast and smoky. We're getting those that smoke from those West Coast fires. It's moved through the Gulf, or the jet stream, not the Gulf Stream, and it's kind of coming in on us, that's for sure. But it's really been a beautiful day here, and it certainly could be worse. We are abundantly blessed here at the Radio Ranch. So I want to thank you for joining us, and got a few current events to talk about today, current events of the day. And so we'll get those covered. But, you know, we better start out with a word of prayer. It's always best to do that, regardless of what you're doing. And so I'll ask you to join me in that. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the blessings that you've poured out upon us, Father, as we have put on that full armor of God. We've put it on, Lord. We've prayed it on, Lord, that we continue to walk as Christian soldiers, as heirs of the promise. Lord, as we guard and direct all that we think, say, and do, so that the things that we do are pleasing to you, Lord. For we know, your word tells us, if we can do these things that are pleasing to you, that, Lord, it'll go well for us. And that's what we desire as well, Lord. And so we pray that you would open the eyes of your people, Lord, so many that are in that slumber, that are in that sleep, Lord, that have their eyes closed and their ears plugged. Father, we pray for an awakening, a revival, Father, that there no longer be that famine in the land of your word, but that, Lord, while there's still time, that your people will turn to you and turn to your word. Father, it's a perilous time right now. It is. It's troubling times. But Father, we rejoice. We thank you for it. We thank you that Lord, you've given us these times to awaken your people and to be living examples of you in this dark and trying time. Guide and direct me in this broadcast, Lord. Give me the words and the thoughts to encourage your people, Father, to inform them of some things they might not have known about, or Lord, just again to encourage them. Father, you've been such an encouragement to us, and your remnant is such an encouragement to us as well. Lord, help us also to encourage them, Father, to continue to trust you, to put their faith in you, and to encourage them to love and good deeds, Lord, which is pleasing to you. And I pray all this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And, well, remnant, hope you're doing well. The ones I've talked to are doing well, and so that's good. If I've spoke to some out in Oregon and Northern California and Oregon and Southern Oregon and Washington State, and it's tough out there. The air quality out there is some of the worst in the world, it's being reported. Had one report that the air quality was so bad, it was the equivalent of smoking 10 packs of cigarettes a day. Not 10 cigarettes, 10 packs a day. Just breathing the air. The smoke is so thick. And so, you know, it is a very hard thing. Remnant, I'll ask you to be praying for God's people that are out in Washington and Oregon and California, that they would be protected, okay? And for whatever reason, yes, I understand that it's these demon rat-controlled cities and towns and states that this is happening to. We when we pray, we ask our God to have mercy in his wrath. And I think he expects his people to be that way as well. And so, Remnant, I ask you to have mercy in your wrath, okay? To not just say, well, they deserve it, okay? Because we all deserve it, if you get right down to it. We really do. We really all deserve to be burned, okay? We do. But, you know, out in Oregon, I mean, there's towns, not just neighborhoods, but towns that have been destroyed. Detroit, Oregon, Phoenix, Oregon, Blue River, Vida, Talent, Mill City. I've seen reports that these towns have burnt, and it's still burning. It's still burning. I've talked with people out at the Portland airport, and the air quality there is atrocious. They can't fly in and help put these fires out. It's that bad. And, you know, God does these things. We talk about how he speaks to us in the storms, certainly in the tempest, in the storms of life. And so, Remnant, we have to be looking at these events of the day with scriptural eyes, with biblical eyes and biblical and scriptural understanding. Okay? Our West is burning. And that's not just a metaphor. If you've seen the maps, the satellite images, it is as if the whole West Coast is burning. We're getting the smoke. We're getting reports the smoke as far east as Michigan. Now see, that's unprecedented. That has not happened in my 55-year life. Hasn't happened in my lifetime. I don't know that it's happened in yours. And so see that this is not just what happens in fire season. It's not just, well, it's a little rough fire season. It's a little tougher. It's not. It's record setting. These are things, we're seeing things with these fires that we have not seen before. Do you remember six towns being burned up? What, just 2 years ago, the town of Paradise, California being burned up? And if you've been listening, you know, this past winter, when it's summer in the southern hemisphere and Australia was burning up, I warned you. I let you know that we were going to be seeing this same thing in our fire season. And here we are. We are seeing it. No, I'm not claiming to be a prophet. I'm not. But as Jesus said, can you not discern the signs of the times? You see that... You know, when the leaves come up on the fig tree, you know summer's coming. Well, you know, we're experiencing a 91st, we just finished a 91st day. As a matter of fact, yesterday till today at 1. And we see the signs, the physical signs of fall coming. Summer is over. We were up in the mountains a couple days ago driving through there, and you see the aspen leaves are changing. They're not just green. They're changing to their yellows and their browns and orange. Yep, fall's coming. It's a little cooler at night. The days are getting a little shorter. The night, that sunrise is a couple minutes later every morning. And that sunset is a couple minutes earlier. And so we see these shifting things, these signs of the seasons changing, okay? We know that. We've been seeing a lot more elk on the river, and that's a sign of fall coming. They're moving more. It's not as hot during the day, and so they're up and moving more. So we see these things. We'll apply those same observations, those same visual things that we're seeing to what's happening in this country, okay? Our West is burning. And back east, down south, Hurricane Sally is a deadly hurricane that has come on board, has come on shore. Massive flooding. The death toll, they just don't know. And again, I hope you just don't sit back and say, well, we get hurricanes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, it was just a few weeks ago we had two at the same time. We have Sally here. There's two more tropical depressions forming out in the ocean that could very well turn into hurricanes. We see this. And then how about up north? How about up north, almost in the Midwest in Chicago? The violence continues. It hasn't abated. The violence hasn't. 53 shootings last weekend. And we're coming into a new weekend. 53 shootings in Chicago alone, resulting in 10 fatalities. And guess what? They were all colored. They were all black people that got killed in Chicago. And of course, we don't see any outrage in the media. We don't see any marches or riots because of that, because it's just commonplace. It happened. That was last weekend. 53 shootings, 10 fatalities. Now, the weekend before that, the numbers were very similar. And the weekend before that, and back in August, and back in May, and back in February, every weekend, it's like that. Not just Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Tampa, Denver. It grows. What do we see? We see the mostly peaceful protests where they do $250 million worth of damages because they're burning, looting, and murdering. We see those things. Portland, they're still rioting in Portland at night and burning, and it's allowed. The lawlessness is here. The lawlessness is here. Got a song for you. I want you to listen to the words, okay? And you think back and see if this is true or not. I want you to listen. I'll be right back.
The winds of change are blowing strange through the streets of my hometown. The for sale signs tell of more hard times since the factory's closing down. Hasn't been this slow, say the folks I know, since just before the World War. Now a working man can work hard, but still he's poor. And the talk is it's not America anymore. This ain't America anymore. This ain't America anymore. Where has she gone? And why can't she see? She's digging her grave. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't the land my father fought for. Where has she gone? The land of the free, the home of the brave. And it seems like this ain't America anymore. She was proud and free back in 63, back when coffee cost just a dime, when her children could play in her parks all day without fear of drugs and crime. Yes, these streets of old were once paved with gold, but now they're cold and damp, I know. Since a job I just lost went south to Mexico, guess these streets are the only place I've got left to go. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't America anymore. Where has she gone? And why can't she see? She's digging her grave. No, this ain't America. This ain't the land our fathers fought for. Where has she gone? The land of the free and the home of the the time and place when we were living the American dream. But now I fear it's too late, and from my destitute state, I just want to...
Uh-oh, I'll have to make a new CD of that. Well, I'll make a note of doing that. But I hope that you, I hope you did hear the words that this ain't our America anymore. It's not. It's just not. You know, from the shootings, from the towns burning up, and not just from lightning, but the rioting and the looting and the allowing of it. You know, if you're a Netflix subscriber, I'm going to ask you to cancel it and boycott them. They've had this, they continue to put out, you know, the filth in the movies is one thing, but they've had this last thing called Cuties that they just put out. They've been doing this the last several years, putting it together. But it's just the, you know, the sexualization of children. This ain't America anymore. It's just not. It's not. Okay? It's not. And so, why? You know, in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And you might say, well, there ain't no peace here. There ain't no peace in this land. Well, see, that's because God's been kicked out. He's been pushed away from the land. His word is truth. All of it. All of it. And any confusion with the word and these mindless debates and arguing about his word and times, you know, that confusion's ours. Okay? It's ours. And so we have, Remnant, we have to remember that we have this word that we can fall back on. Okay? This word that we can fall back on, that we have to fall back on. We it is our, you know, Christ our refuge, Christ our rock. And it's not just pie in the sky. Oh, it's, you know, yeah, I believe in God, but I still got all this other stuff to do. No, like the Psalms 91, the protection that's there, the promises that are there, not for everybody, not for the whole nation. It's not. It's for he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. That's who it's for. That's who it's for. That's who it's for. It's for, I read this last night at the Wednesday night prayer meeting. It's in Psalms 139. David is crying out to God, "Your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. And if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, O Lord. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you." See, because it's all part of his plan. For those of us that have already repented and returned to God, not that we're perfect, not that we're better than anybody else, but forgiven and have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, not some, as the world would put it, but the gift of the Holy Spirit and a bit of understanding and being able to see what's going on in this world. Okay? We see these signs of the times. We have to remember that the darkness is not dark to our God. And this darkness that we're in these days of trepidation, these trying times, these burning times, they're part of are God's patience and his desire for his remnant to return to him. Okay? To return to him. You know, our president is coming against abortion. They sure are not putting a lot of it in the media. But if you look into it, he has, I think, done all he can to defund abortion in America. I think he has done all he can to defund abortion overseas. And I think that, you know, some people look at it that it's just not enough. He's just not done enough. Well, I think that he has many, many battles that he's fighting, but I look at it as it's better. It's better with what he has done in defunding abortion. This same verse, this Psalms 139, the same chapter anyway. You know, it right in here is where it talks about that we know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But he says, "You formed my inward parts," and this is Psalms 139, verse 13. Oh, that this would be preached on from the pulpits of America. Verse 13, "For you, O Lord, formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame," meaning my bones, "my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." I hope that you see that. I hope that brings you comfort that God has this planned out. He's had this planned out. He sees the end from the beginning. I hope these are words of comfort for you. Okay? They are for me. And, you know, the time, we've talked about it before, but the time, the time of harvest draws near. Okay? The time of harvest draws near. I'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
When you feel like there's a sign there on your back, says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match, filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying? If you're going through hell, keep on going. Through it, you might get out, or the devil even knows you're there.
Amen. Hey, what kind of song is that when you're going through hell? Well, you know, right now, for a lot of people, that's what it is out there today. It seems like they're going through hell. You know, those in those towns of Oregon, I think they definitely think that's what they're going through. Remember, the Word tells us that when we do have to go through those things, that we continue to go through them, and that God goes through them with us. Okay? He doesn't take these things away from us, but He goes through. Remember, His Word tells us that He goes through the fire with us, and He goes through the river with us, and through the flood with us. That's what He's done all throughout the Word, all throughout the Bible stories that we have. It's part of our foundation. He goes through the health issues with us. Remember Hezekiah? Way back in 2 Kings 20? 2 Kings 20 declares, "Tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. I will heal you." Do you remember that? See, he went through those things, and they produced tears and prayers, repentance, and glory to God, praise to God. And God goes through these things with us. So, if you are going through hell, keep on going. Just keep on going. Continue. Matthew 13, the tares and the wheat. Let's take a look at that, because I believe we are living those times. I do. I believe we are living those times today. That's the signs that I see. Okay? I don't claim any special wisdom or discernment other than being on the ministry for almost 30 years, working under our pastor here at the Radio Ranch for 10 years, the last 10 years of his life. Matthew 13, the tares. Matthew 13, verse 24, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No. No. For while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to go to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first,'" and that is an important word in this story, "'first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then he presents another couple parables about the mustard seed and the leaven. And then you would drop down to verse 36. It says, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.'" Because see, they didn't understand the parable. They didn't understand how the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, could be like the tares in the wheat. But it is. And then Jesus goes on and does that very thing. Because when you ask of God, He will answer. Okay? The disciples asked. In verse 37, "And He said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man," that's Jesus Christ, "will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness." I want to read that verse again. It's verse 41 of Matthew 13. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them in the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And I believe that we are fast approaching this time of harvest. Why? Well, because the distinction between the tares and the wheat is becoming more and more evident. Just as we see that the days are getting a little cooler, the nights are getting a little cooler, we see that fall is fast approaching. It's here, and we're moving heavy into it. This time of harvest fast approaches as well. And when you see here that first, in the original parable, first he says, gather up the tares and bind them and burn them up. First, see, the what is not supposed to be there is taken first. Okay? Now this runs, this scripture runs in complete opposite of the teaching of the rapture. Because in the rapture, what happens first? Oh, God comes and takes his people so they don't have to suffer. So they don't have to go through the tribulation. Where else do we see that in the Bible? That God comes and takes this away from him, from his people? We don't. What we do see is that God goes through the flood with his people. And God goes through the rivers and through the fire and through the lion's den with his people. And it says it here. First, gather up the tares. Now, wouldn't you think that this would be a perfect example here if the rapture theory were correct? Wouldn't this be a perfect example if it was the other way around? If he said, first, go and gather my wheat into the barn, then we're going to burn the field. See, wouldn't that fit the rapture doctrine? First, gather my wheat into my barn, and there they will be with me in the air forever. Then I'm going to burn the earth and burn those tares up. See, that would fit better with the rapture doctrine, but that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, first, gather up the tares, the evil, and bind them in bundles and burn them up. And when he explains it, when Jesus explains it, the field is the world, the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, the tares are the sons of the evil one, the enemy who sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the age, the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Again, wouldn't this be a perfect example for Jesus to explain the rapture? If he would say the Son of Man will send forth his angels to call all his loved ones home out of the great tribulation that's going to come. That's not what the Word of God says. It says, he will gather out of his kingdom stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. And they get thrown into the furnace of fire. However you want to interpret that, okay? They don't get to enjoy the kingdom. Those that commit lawlessness. Those that practice those lawless lifestyles. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now the rapture tries to push that off into the sky, into a heavenly realm. It kind of contradicts the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, that the meek shall inherit the earth. The humble. So, Remnant, maybe it's just me, but I see this end of the age coming. I see this harvest, okay, coming. Because the good seed has been sown, the tares are here among us. And the separation is what's growing, okay? The separation continues to grow. And it's not the Christians. It's not those the Christians, we just want to live and let live. And that's unfortunate, but it is how we are. But we can't do that. And see, the enemy knows that. The enemy can't help it either. They continue to be lawless. They continue to want more and more and more and more. See, it's not good enough for the enemy just to have LGBTQ curriculums in the school. See, that's not enough. They want to have transgender bathrooms so they can abuse our children in those bathrooms. And that's not enough. They have to have their drag queens come in and men dressed as women and women dressed as men come in and read stories of Billy having two daddies and further filth to our kindergartners and first and second and third graders to convert them. And see, that's not enough. Is it any wonder that California's burning, where all this has started? Is it any wonder? Do you really wonder? Do you really wonder why God is having Portland and Seattle under rioting and lawlessness and burning and looting? Do you really wonder? Or do you know? Do you know? And I think you know. I think you know. They know it. See, this end is drawing near. And they know it. They know it. That's why they don't hold back anymore. That's why they just continue with more and more and more and more and more. This is their last ditch effort. And you know, there's things that are going on that have gone on in this last, well, in the Democrat presidential debates that they had to come up with Joe Biden, that are a precedence, a foreshadowing of the day of the Lord. Okay? If you remember, who was it, Burko or whatever his name is, the queer down there in Texas, okay, that he told everybody, if you elect me, I'll get the guns. I'll get the guns. He told everybody, because he's a filthy faggot queer, he told everybody that if you elect me, I'll have it where the churches will accept homosexuality and bestiality and sex with children and all the other abominations. That's a paraphrase. Or we'll shut the churches down. He said that, okay, for all the world to hear. And you've been hearing it with this Kamala Harris, this Harris-Biden ticket now that they've been appointed. They tell you that if we elect them, that taxes are going to go up, that they tell you they're going to push the wall down, and that they're going to welcome with open arms all the illegal aliens. Everybody deserves a right to be here in America, to be an American. Everybody, we welcome them all. They tell you that they're going to take your guns. They tell you that they're going to call the Bible hate speech. They tell us this. They tell us this. Even that last little blurb this week, Kamala Harris, about, oh yes, in a Harris-Biden administration. See, she knows, and so she's telling those that are in the know that she'll be top dog in that group. We've told you, Remnant, and American people, as hard as we can. And they've told you, okay? They've told you what they're going to do. So, if the Christians stay home in November and don't go out and vote pro-life, pro-gun, pro-family, pro-American, then these anti-gun, anti-Americans that are also running, if they get elected, they've told you what they're going to do, and then they will do that. Okay? It's as plain as day. They will do their best to do that. Well, see, all of that, I believe, and I look at it as it is a foreshadowing, okay? A foreshadowing of the day of the Lord. Because God tells us, and He's told us what He's going to do. He tells us in Corinthians that those that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And He gives us a whole list, whether it's liars or adulterers or coveters or homosexual or effeminate, that they don't get into the kingdom. His word tells us that. Jesus, all through Matthew in these parables, tell us what the kingdom is like. It's like leaven. It's like a mustard seed. It's like a merchant seeking fine pearls. It's like a treasure hidden in the field. He tells us what it's like, and He tells us what it's going to be like at the end of the age. When Jesus Christ sends His angels. No, not the little winged females or cherubs that come and play the harps and la, 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 la. No, no, no. That's not what it's going to be like. It's when the Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them in the furnace of fire, and they will be burned up and killed and destroyed, those that practice lawlessness. You don't have to believe it, but that is the way it is. In Revelation 22:12, behold, Jesus Christ says, I am coming quickly, and My reward is with Me to render to every man according to what he has done. Revelation 21:7, He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be My son. So, Remnant, overcome. Like the song says, if you're going through hell, keep on going. Trust in the Lord. Continue to pray. Continue to obey His word. Verse 8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and the abominable. So you better look that up and find out what's abominable to God, because that's what matters. And the murderers and the immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You interpret that however you want to, okay? But that's how it's going to be. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 15 of Revelation 20, if anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That is the way it's going to be. He told you. We've told you. Now, whether you believe it or not, if you think God is just joking, okay, then go ahead and continue to be immoral and cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murder and do those things and lie all that. Go ahead. Go ahead. But that day fast approaches. It does. It does. It's time to get to this word. It's time to get into it because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And I don't want to be there saying, I told you so. Our pastor Peters did not want to be there saying, I told you so. But you're getting a foreshadowing of it, America, with this upcoming election. Because the demon rats have told you what they want to do. What they're going to do if you elect them. And they're going to do it. Don't wait till they're elected and, oh God, deliver us. Oh God, when you sat on your butt and didn't do anything now to change it. Okay? Don't go crying out to him then. And God even says in his word that if your hands are covered in blood, he won't hear your prayer. How about that? How about that? You know, we have storms. We have, as the word says, remnant, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals among you. Okay? Oh, we have them. We have them. Be them storms or health. But we trust in his word. He has his plan for each and every one of us. Folks, that's all the time I got. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, join us Saturday morning. Come back Saturday morning. We'll have the phone lines open, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. Come back, join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll talk to you then. God bless.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm mercy falls. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. For you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, and though my heart is torn,
almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through.